Welcome back to PFW in Progress, and as promised, joining us now, Patriots captain, Pro Bowl special teamer Matthew Slater. Matthew, how you doing?
Doing well. Good to be back in Foxborough. Getting ready to get back to work here.
Getting back to work, what have you been up to since the season? What did the offseason consist of?
I got to spend a little time with my family, get back home and spend some time with them, and then from there it's just been about me getting my body right and preparing for another season. So you always enjoy the process of preparing for another season, and that's what we've been doing.
What is the process like when the season ends, when you go from playing to, they say everybody's beat up, obviously, after a long season? At what point do you start, working out lightly, or how does that work as you prepare for the official offseason program?
Well, it was tough this year with the season ending so abruptly, so I think those first couple weeks you're still trying to get over what had happened over the course of the season and put things in perspective, and then I think you take 2 or 3 weeks to let your body heal up, because like you said, all of us are pretty beat up at that point. And then from there, you slowly start to rehab and work your way back into shape and kind of progress into running and lifting and things like that. And then next thing you know, you're back into football.
Are you looking forward to, I know some teammates are starting to trickle in as we head towards, I think the 21st is or 22nd, the first day of the off-season program. You looking forward to getting everybody back in town and that camaraderie in the team and that whole process?
No question. I think one of the greatest things about what we do is the locker room and the environment in the locker room. Being around your teammates, going to work with those guys day in, day out is truly something special. So you definitely miss that when you're training on your own. So to be back around your guys, your team, definitely something to be excited about.
What is, you mentioned obviously going back to the West Coast and seeing family. How much is football a part of that? Because obviously your father, a Hall of Fame NFL player, you're a Pro Bowl NFL player, but a lot of people talk about, we don't really talk football when they get with family and things of that. What role does football play in your family still?
I think it's a little bit different in my house. We definitely talk about football quite a bit. My dad still coaches at a small Division II school in Southern California, Azusa Pacific. So we talk about his kids and his experience out there and just being able to, share the experiences that I've had with my father and vice versa has been really special. And then I don't think my mom cares too much to talk about football. So, it's just always good to reconnect with your family. I truly believe they're a big reason that I am where I am today. So getting a chance to reconnect with them means a lot to me.
What kind of coach is your dad, both with his players and with you? I know I talked to Julian Edelman once, and he said he calls his dad after every game, and he could have had 15 catches for 150 yards, and his dad points out the one drop or the one bad route. How is your dad in those terms?
I think my dad may be similar to Julian's dad. He's my biggest critic and my biggest fan at the same time, and I think he's always pushed me to be better. He's always talked about what happened on the one bad play as opposed to maybe the 10 good ones. So I appreciate that about him, and he's a perfectionist as a coach. He was that way as a player. His preparation was very detailed and meticulous, and he expects a lot from his young players out there at Azusa. So it's kind of fun to hear him talk technique and talk about the experience he's had with those young fellows.
Now, obviously, you've gotten away, but I'm sure you've been keeping track sort of the team in the off season, and a pretty exciting off season. Obviously, doesn't get much bigger than Darrell Revis coming to town. When you follow those things, how do you react when you say, wow, Darrell Revis, he's pretty good. We're getting him?
Oh, no question. I remember in years past having to prepare for him when he was in New York, and I know that everybody thinks really highly of his game. He's a tremendous player. He plays the game the right way, and you're excited about getting guys like that on your team and having an opportunity to play with guys like that. But all that being said, it all looks good on paper. We've got to go out there and put it together on the field. We've got to build chemistry. We've got to build camaraderie, and we've got to build a team.
I want to ask you about a term that we in talk radio throw around a lot. I don't think there's been a discussion about the Patriots in the last couple of years here, anywhere else, without the term Tom Brady's window. Everybody's talking about, Brady, can he play 3 more years, 4, whatever it may be. Have you ever heard a teammate, a coach, yourself, thought about that term, that Tom Brady has a window and we need to win before Brady leaves or anything like that?
No, I don't think that that's in the back of our mind as players. We understand we all have a window. a career in the NFL is something that's gone in the blink of an eye. So we're all on the clock.
Yep.
And everyone's goal around here is to have success and have the ultimate success. And Tom's number one as far as that being his goal. But, you know, we're not thinking about Tom's window. Tom is Benjamin Button. He's the ageless one. So, you know, we're just going to continue to grind and work that we need to put into that season to make ourselves contenders.
You mentioned on paper everything looks good. And on paper, you're a team that three straight years has been the AFC title game. You have a Super Bowl. So on paper, everybody just assumes, well, they're going to be in the AFC title game because that's what they've done the last 3 years. But it's not that easy, is it?
Not at all. The amount of work that goes into getting to that one game is unbelievable. I mean, you spend months, almost a calendar year, trying to get yourself in position to be in that game. And it's not a gimme. There are many good football teams, many good football coaches in this league, and it's very difficult. Now, we've been very fortunate around here to experience success, but we can't take that for granted. We can't assume that because we've been there in the past that we're going to be there moving forward, and we can't assume because we've added the great players that we have this offseason that it's just going to come together. We have to do our part, put in the work. You need some breaks along the way, obviously. Health plays a role in that as well. A lot of different things go into it. So we just have to take it one day at a time. We can't be thinking Super Bowl now. We've just got to be able to go out and execute plays come OTA time.
One of the guys that was part of the offseason who returned, I think, is a pretty good buddy of yours, Julian Edelman. And you guys obviously spent a lot of time together, special teams, wide receiver. What's that relationship like with you guys?
You know, Julian is one of my closest friends, you know, inside of football and outside of football. We've been able to spend a lot of time together. We've played together now 5 years, so we've really gotten to know each other. And you know, I wish him continued success because it's going to help our football team. So I'm excited for him, happy for the young man. He's worked so hard to get what he's gotten, and I really appreciate his friendship, no question.
How did you see him? From afar, it looked like he added confidence last year, and I guess that comes with staying healthy and producing, because we saw flashes of it over, you know, great punt returner, but he was sort of buried behind Welker, maybe never got, then he would get banged up. How did you see him handle his great 100 catches, 1,000 yards, that sort of culmination of everything he's worked for last year? It's interesting you bring up leadership, because we talked to Rob Ninkovich last week, and we spoke about leadership and the fact that this team certainly has a lot of leaders that like to lead by example, but do you feel like sometimes you have to have leaders that aren't afraid to be vocal and maybe, without a better word to use, aren't afraid to be kind of an a-hole and kick somebody in the butt and kind of, does a team need that? And who are some of the guys maybe on this team that fill that role at times?
We need it from within the locker room, and we have guys that step up and do that. You know, we have great leaders on this football team, Vince Wilfork, Gerard Mayo, Logan Mankins, Rob Ninkovich, Devin McCourty, Tom Brady, the list goes on. We really have a solid locker room.
At this time of year, obviously everybody's thinking about the draft. And I wonder for a guy like you, let me ask you a question first of all. Do you consider yourself a special teamer? When I call you a Pro Bowl special teamer, is that offensive? Are you okay with that? How does that term sit with you?
I'm definitely okay with it. You know, that's how I've been able to make my way in this league. You know, I've got one career catch, so I'm not going out there looking to catch 70 balls a season. You know, I understand what my role is on this football team, and I've embraced that role and just continue to try to improve upon it each and every year.
So just getting back to your role as a special teamer, but also your role as a wide receiver and a deep threat at times, taking advantage of your speed. You had one of those chances in the AFC title game. What's your mentality when you get those? Are you hoping that big play will get you more of those opportunities, or just trying to sort of fill a role for the team at that point?
Well, definitely. You know, I've been a guy that, since I've been here, has tried to buy into, you know, whatever they need of me, whatever they ask of me, I'm going to go out and do it to the best of my ability. And being a receiver is something that I've worked on ever since, you know, I got here. And at times it's been being a safety. So I feel like, you know, obviously I'm a special teamer. That's my primary role, but I like to, you know, work on my craft as a receiver because I enjoy playing receiver. I enjoy playing football, and I enjoy the position of receiver. So that role is something that I enjoy just as much as playing special teams.
Was there ever a point where you weren't as comfortable with it? Because obviously now you're an established Pro Bowl special team. That's sort of what you're known for and your role within the team. Was there a point where you wanted more, or even coming into the league, you know, as a player, was there a point where you – weren't sure that would be your role, or how did you deal with it earlier in your career?
Well, I guess I knew pretty early on that the way for me to stick around this league was going to be covering kicks and blocking for returners. So I tried to buy into that early. But obviously, as a competitor, you want to go out and do whatever you're asked to do at a high level, and whether that's playing receiver, playing safety, as I was saying. So I consider myself a competitor, and I'm going to go out and work to the best of my ability to do what I'm asked at a high level.
Do you impart that on younger guys? Because I know Bill has actually talked about in the past, some guys hurt themselves by not being comfortable with the role they're in. As you know, you've carved out a special teams career. Larry Izzo carved out a long special teams career, whereas some guys, I think, they're always aspiring to be more on offense or defense and sort of lose focus of, I can have a career on special teams. Do you impart that knowledge on some guys?
You know what, I try to. I try to pull young guys aside, and you see a guy that may have the potential to fall into that role, and just share with him my experience. You know, one thing that I learned when I got here was for you to have a good football team, you have to have guys that are going to be a star in their role. And that was something that Coach said early on, and it really stuck with me. I really could relate to what he was saying. So I try to share that with the young guys. Listen, you know, we have a chance to do something special here. You have a chance to be a part of it. And it may not be in the role that you thought it would be, but it's a very important role. So getting the young guys to buy into that is key, and I think we have young guys that do buy into that.
This is obviously the anniversary of the Boston Marathon last year, the bombings at the finish line. And I know as a leader of this team and this community, you've been here now for quite a while. What does that mean to you a year later? And I know it's obviously there are a lot of memorials today and different things going on. What do you remember about that day and sort of that time frame in New England?
You know, it was a very difficult time, a very sad time. And even now, almost a year later, thinking back on it, it's still a hard pill to swallow that something like that would happen at an event that's supposed to be a joyous time, a time of celebration. But the thing that sticks out most to me is the way the people of this region and this community rallied. They rallied around one another. They came together, and it really just shows the character of the people of New England. But as I said, it's still, you think back on the lives that were lost and the people that were severely injured, and it's still saddening. And I think it's so important that we don't forget what happened, that we don't forget the people that were affected by this, the families that were affected by this, and that we continue to keep them in our prayers, and we continue to support, you know, obviously the people that run this year, but the people that run every year, because it's always going to be a significant event, and even more significant event because of what happened last year.
Do you think it changed the way you look at things? Because I actually ran last year. I'm running again this year. And maybe I was naive. These types of things had never really crept into my head. You know, we dealt with 9/11 and the security changes after that. But, I mean, do you still feel like, you know, when you go to a game, that's a game. That's a certain event. And I think as Americans, we've been lucky for the most part to be sort of cut off from the reality that some of the other parts of the world deal with on a regular basis. Has it changed the way you look at anything in life?
Well, it definitely makes you take a step back and put things in perspective. And I think that every day we have on this earth is a gift, and we can't take it for granted. You expect to go, you know, about your day and come back home safely, and that doesn't happen a lot of times. And we live in a chaotic world where things like this happen. So I think, if anything, it made me be grateful for the safety that I have had up until this point in my life. I'm grateful for our servicemen and women and what they do to provide that safety for us. And I think it should teach all of us to not take things for granted, not take life for granted, enjoy life, live it to the fullest, and be thankful for the safety, the protection that we have as American citizens.
That leads me to my next question. Feel free to tell me to mind my own damn business. But faith is obviously a big part of your life. Mm-hmm. You know, we've heard you discuss that at times. How big a part is it, and how much of a part is faith within the locker room in general?
Well, I think people would be surprised how many men of faith that we have on this team. It's not something that gets really talked about a lot, and we don't really want it to be talked about a lot. But I think faith is a big part of this team as a whole. You know, we were able to hire a chaplain this year, Jack Easterby, and I think he really did a great job of changing the culture of our locker room. And not just for faith, Christianity, or whatever, but just having men evaluate their lives and on and off the field, getting things in balance. And I think that's very important. And I know for me personally, it's been everything to me. I really feel like I wouldn't be where I am in my career, in my personal life, if it hadn't been for my faith in Christ. So it means a lot to me. It's something that I try to work at each and every day. I know I'm not perfect. I make a lot of mistakes every day, but I feel very fortunate to have a relationship with Christ and be able to filter all my decisions and the things that happen in day-to-day life through my faith.
You mentioned hiring a chaplain, and without getting into detail, was that in reaction to some things that obviously happened in recent past? And did you see that maybe take hold or change anything in the locker room with the guys?
Well, you know, I can't say that it was or wasn't a reaction to some of the things that happened last offseason, but I can certainly say that it was helpful. As a team, going through some of the things that we had to go through, you know, that has an effect on you, regardless of how you try to spin it, it has an effect on you. So, you know, Jack was very helpful in helping a lot of guys through a lot of different issues, and I think it was definitely a godsend at that time that he came, and our team definitely needed that.
No okay, question. Enough of the heavy stuff.
All right.
Let's get some light stuff. We like to have a little fun. What's a day in the life of Matthew? Give me something you like to do that we don't know about. You seem very serious. You have your faith and your football and your family. Those are all great, obviously. Mm-hmm. Those are, you know, anybody wants those to be their top three, I think. What else you like to, you're a video game guy, you're a food guy, what?
You know, I'm
burgers
a big,
with Edelman?
Edelman has pulled me in on the burger runs, no question. You know, and I'm a big movie guy.
Yep.
I love the cinema. I love going to movies. I love all genres of movie. And I am a food guy. I can't lie to you. My dad's an offensive lineman. So there's one thing I got from him. I got his appetite. I got his nice appreciation for food. So during my time here, I'll give a little gem. I'll drop a little gem for you guys. There's a place called Pastiche down in Providence.
Okay.
One of the best dessert spots around. So for those folks out there listening, it's on the backside of Federal Hill there. So it's on the back street.
Okay.
Yeah, there's a. It is off of Atwell's.
Yeah.
I'm not sure the exact street, but
there's a lot of good restaurants in that area too.
Fine desserts down there. So people out there
during the season too, or do you have to?
You know, you gotta. I hope our nutritionist Ted Harper's not listening, but you gotta kind of work a few of those things in there every now and then.
And how about the burgers with Edelman? Which do you have a favorite that he's dragged you along to, or?
There have been so many good ones.
Because he takes it serious. I talked to him one day, and he has, like, you know, there's fast food burgers, then there's upscale burgers and pub burgers. He's got, like, different categories.
I mean, this guy's unbelievable with his burger, you know, how he ranks them.
Hey, it works, right?
How he qualifies them, grades them. I mean, it's unbelievable. You know, he's taken me to a lot of good spots. I think one that I've really enjoyed is Harry's Burger Bar down in Providence.
Okay.
They have sliders. They serve sliders down there. Very good sliders.
I always have trouble with the sliders because sometimes they're small, so they overcook them, so they end up kind of being hockey pucks, and you want them to be juicy.
These guys, they know what they're doing down there at Harry's Burger Bar.
Yeah, it's almost time for you to stop eating all this stuff, right? The 21st.
I'm dreaming of this stuff. I'm going to be eating chicken breasts and vegetables here.
There's nothing wrong with those. A little broccoli's fine, right? You got to mix it. Everything in moderation. That's
exactly
the key. Because I heard lately kale's bad for you, so you can't go overboard with anything.
Uh-oh.
So, but Matthew Slater, I appreciate you stopping by and kind of telling us what you've been up to in this off season, and the work starts in a week or so, and it's back to football, right?
Yes, it is. Sounds good.
All right.
I appreciate you guys having me. Good to be back.
Thanks, Matthew. We'll be back soon after a quick commercial break on PFW in Progress.